The word today that God has placed in my heart is found in Matthew chapter 5. So if you would turn there in your Bibles today. And if you have an old school Bible, is what I'll call it, there should be red letters there because these are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to talk about verse 13 this morning. The title of this message is Stay Salty. Stay Salty. Jesus himself called us the salt of the earth. In Matthew 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, its purpose, how can it be made salty again? Jesus has called us to be salty. And you know what's really funny is currently in our culture, we know that the term salty is a very negative one, right? Right? Can we all agree on that? As when I looked it up in the dictionary, in the Cambridge Dictionary, it says it's used as an adjective meaning angry, annoyed, or upset, especially when it's unreasonable, right? The term, I don't know why they are acting salty, right? And the dictionary.com says hostile or upset, especially due to embarrassment or failure. He gets so salty when that happens. And I just kind of found it comical that, you know, what Jesus called us to be, the world has taken it in such an opposite direction. Because Jesus called us to be salty, and we're going to talk this morning about what he meant when he said, you are the salt of the earth. Amen? Because it is contrary and it is opposing to what the world standard of salty is. But we're going to leave here today salty. And we're going to stay salty. And you could tell somebody at work tomorrow when you get there, when they see a smile on your face, when you're jumping for joy on a Monday morning, and they're saying, what's wrong with you? And you could say, I'm salty. We're going to teach the world what the word says about being salty. Amen? Amen. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. And in these portions of scripture, if you look at the chapters in the way Holy Spirit has aligned them up in the Word of God, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, they are known as the Sermon on the Mount. So this is known as where Jesus gives his first messages to all those that were following him, and they stayed for days. And as I picture it taking place, I believe that Jesus walked up on the mountain, and he had a place to stand so his voice could be heard over the crowd. But over the course of time, more people started coming because, remember, they were hearing about Jesus. They were hearing about this teacher. They were hearing about this rabbi who did miracles. And they started to come and they started to gather around Jesus. A mix of people from different walks of life, different stations, different positions, different ages. How when we gather together, right? We all come together as one body. But we might have, you know, different jobs. When I was looking at this, it said that some might have been fishermen and some farmers. Some might have been in the trade because this was an area where the merchants went through and they brought trade. So you might have even had some travelers there who were just like, oh, there's a crowd. I'm going to go follow the crowd and be where the crowd is going. And what's this crowd listening to? And they were hearing Jesus. I believe there was maybe also some Roman guards there going, there's a crowd forming, we better get there and be present. And all of them together heard these messages in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, starting with the Beatitudes. And right in the middle of this portion of scripture, Jesus says to this crowd, you are the salt of the earth. So Jesus was recognizing this as an identification, saying, you are. You are the salt of the earth. You are. Harvest Church, you are salt. You are the salt of the earth. And we're going to talk about what this means, how it was recognized, what it symbolized, and what it was used for. And that's going to, I believe, today stir up in us because this is a message to cause us to be activated in the area that we're in. You know, when you think of salt, and sprinkling salt, it scatters. When we leave here today, we're going to scatter back into our homes, into our world, into our circle of influences. And we need to be effective and potent and bring a change And the Holy Spirit's causing us to recognize this, how we are supposed to change that atmosphere. Remember, we walk through a door, we're atmosphere shifters. Well, now that we're on the other side of that atmosphere, what change are we bringing? We're going to talk about that this morning. Amen. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus himself spoke this. Jesus was very aware of the words he was using. He didn't use words carelessly. He was very aware, and he knew what he was saying when he said, "You are the salt of the earth." He was recognizing this as a substance in each one of us, a description for every believer, the reason why we are here on earth, to be salt, and using salt to describe our lives. You are salt. Amen? So salty, according to Jesus, is to be part of our character. It's our role. It's our position here on earth. It's what he called us to do, and it's a responsibility. You are. You are. It's a declaration of our identification. You are. It's kind of like when you wear a badge and a tag, and you represent a position. You are that authority. You are that name. So you have to proceed in such, correct? So this is what Jesus is calling us to. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus knew the significance of using salt as our description back then. Jesus was the Word made flesh. He knew the Old Testament covenants. He knew the New Testament usage. And he knew exactly how we are to be used here and now on the earth. So the type of salt mentioned here is exactly the same type of salt we use today. Exactly the same, table salt. However, in biblical times, the salt was extremely expensive, and it was a treasured commodity. So when Jesus first said, "You are the salt of the earth," everyone there present knew this is an extremely valuable commodity he just called us. This is a substance of value, of usefulness in our everyday life. This is a substance of necessity. You are salt. You are salt. And what caused this to be so expensive and of great value was the way the process of the salt is extracted from the water. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today so that you can have a picture in your mind of why the salt was so valuable and of the image that each of them got there on the mountainside. Because although they were from different places, different occupations, different ages in life, they knew the value of the salt when Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." So salt was often difficult to obtain, and it was a highly valued trade item, and it was considered a form of currency of more value than gold in some areas. Did you know that? I didn't know that. This is a really fun study. The Hebrew people harvested salt by pouring seawater into pits and allowing the water to evaporate until only the salt was left. So they had to get the water from the sea and bring it and dig a pit and let that evaporate, the water evaporate out of it in order for the salt to be what was left. This was usually harvested once a year until the salt reached a specific thickness. After the harvest, the salt was washed, drained, cleaned, and refined for use. You are salt. The Romans mined the salt from deposits in the ground. So this was a process. And then dissolved it in water, making a brine solution to be boiled in large uncovered pans over fire. The workers filled the salty water in ceramic pans and heated them until the water evaporated. And then it was placed over a fire supported by small pillars. So if you could see, there was pans and pillars over an open fire. And it was a process until all the water evaporated and the only thing left was a pure cake of salt. On the Mediterranean coast, they gathered seawater in large, shallow bins and then left it there. And due to the intense sun and the wind, over time, the water evaporated. And in the end, they scraped up the pure salt that was left. So what we're seeing here is that there was a process that made it pricey. And a process that made it potent and useful. This could not be rushed, and it could not be altered in the way it was harvested. So I believe today what Holy Spirit is saying is we're in a process. We're in a process. And there's things that the fire needs to remove from our lives. And there's some time that we need to take in the presence of God so things evaporate and separate from us. Because there's a refining process so that when we are out in the world and we are scattered about, we are potent in our usefulness for the Lord. Amen? Jesus needs us useful. He needs us useful for his kingdom. Because this part of the scripture that really caught my eye, and this is where the study started, was when Jesus says, if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? A little bit of a tongue twister there. It can't be made salty again. We have to stay in the process of being refined continually in the presence of God so that our usefulness and the quality of our life out there in the world shows results for God's kingdom. Amen? Right? That's the whole purpose. Jesus is saying, I need you to be salt. I need you to make a difference. I need the quality of your Christian life to be potent, not flat, not unusable. I need you to make a change where you are because I'm coming soon. Amen? He's our soon coming King. So there was a process in the extracting of the salt and it made it expensive. And the quality of the salt gave it its value. So I want to start by saying today that Jesus calls us valuable. He calls us valuable. If you feel like you have no value and you have no purpose, Jesus today is calling you salt. He's saying you are the salt of the earth and I need you where you are. You are valuable in your family. You are valuable on your job. You are valuable where I am placing you to be used. Amen? Amen. You are the salt of the earth. So again, this process cannot be rushed and it cannot be altered. It is not something easily acquired. However, it is extremely useful and significant. Salt, a simple word. What we see, and you will probably use the minute you go out today, whether on your eggs at the diner, in a little bit of extra soup, I don't know where you like to add your salt. But I hope when you look at it now, you'll see its value and you'll see the value in you. Amen. And as I said, Jesus knew the Old Testament uses of salt and the daily uses. So let's talk a little bit about how salt was used in the Old Testament, okay? Is that good? We're going to just talk a little bit today? All right, amen. Yeah, come on, talk back to me. Usually I'm down on the ground and it's a Wednesday night, so I'm up here today, so I still need you to talk to me. Amen? So there was a salt covenant mentioned in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. The covenant of salt that God made. And this was in regards to God's promise to David. And the salt there represents God's permanency. God's permanency in his promises. See, Jesus knew what he meant when he said we are salt. We have a permanency in us of God's promises, church. And that can never change and never be altered. Amen. Salt was used to ratify covenants, making them officially valid. Salt was used in rendering contracts irrevocable during this time period. What they would do is, if I was making a covenant with you over a land, I would put my salt in your pouch and you would put your salt in my pouch, and that would render that contract valid. And we could not go back because you could not then separate the salt. You are salt. You're not going to be separated from the promises of God on the inside of you. God has made a covenant with us, church. And God doesn't break his covenants. He's a covenant-keeping God. Amen? Hallelujah. Salt in the Old Testament was used in worship and in giving sacrifices to the Lord. And I love this part because when we come and we give our lives in worship to the Lord and we say, Lord, here I am as a sacrifice. Here I am as a sacrifice. The salt of our life brings incense, it says, unto God in Exodus. And in Ezekiel, it says that salt was put onto the burnt offerings. That salt was used in every thank offering, the grain offering, the meat offering unto the Lord. That's our lives. Jesus is saying, I see your life as a sacrifice unto me. You are salt. You are valuable. And there's a permanence that I have placed in you, never to be changed, never to be altered. Amen? Jesus calls us the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. We are valuable because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what makes our life valuable. That's the leveling field to us all. The blood of Jesus Christ makes our life of value. Amen. Amen. In Matthew 5, verse 13 again, I was studying this, one of the concordances said, is about God preserving and seasoning a believer as they grow. So God is preserving you as a believer, and he is seasoning you as you grow in the Lord. Remember, church, we are never to be stagnant. We are always to be growing. Jesus is calling us salt, and he's saying, I'm preserving you, and I'm seasoning you as you grow. As we go through the process, know that process that can't be rushed, that process of refining fire taking place in our life. There's a process for us to go through. However, as we allow ourselves to go through this process, we become more valuable for the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be useless for the kingdom of God. Time is too short. We need to be effective in every area, every place we go. We need to be effective. We need to be purposeful. We need to be intentional in our words. We're going to talk a little bit about that. In our actions. That only takes place, though, when we allow the process of the refining of the fire to bring that purity in our life. Amen? So it is a process, but it's worth it. The process of the fire of God, removing and extracting what does not belong. It's okay to stay in the process. We should continually be in the process because we never want to lose that saltiness. We want to stay salty. Amen? Amen. We're to have an influence in this world. We should be different. We should stand out. We should be potent in our flavor. We know when salt is in food. There's no denying it, right? We know when something tastes salty. Salt is a preservative. We've heard this before, right? Salt preserves what is good and keeps away decay and keeps things from spoiling. But as I was studying this, there was another definition of preserve that came up. And it symbolizes permanence, durability, and consistency. I'm going to say that again for those who are taking notes because I feel like this is a part to take down. As a preservative, it symbolizes permanence, durability, and consistency. Permanence, again, the promises of God are permanent and unchangeable. Men, the promises of God in your life are permanent and unchangeable. Permanent and unchangeable. That means the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. That means the word of God is forever established in this earth. And until Jesus Christ comes back, we are still to be effective on this earth. This is saying that although there's darkness, gross darkness, it can never cover the light. These are the promises of God. This is the permanency of the salt that we are to be in this earth. Amen? God's presence, the will of God remains in your life. The will of God never changes. I don't know what's been coming at you or your family, and you might say, well, you know what? This doesn't really seem like the hope in the future we've been working towards. There's a permanence in the word of God, and we need to hold on to that. And remind the enemy and remind ourselves. Sometimes I don't think it's the enemy we're fighting. It's our own flesh. It's our own mind. It's our own self-pity. It's our own discouragement. We have to rise up today and say, no, the word of God and the promises for me and my family are yes and amen. If God's word is forever established in heaven, then it's forever established in me. Because Jesus was the word made flesh, and now he dwells in me. So the word of God is established in me, and it is unchangeable. Can you say unchangeable today? Amen. The next part of this symbolizes permanence and durability. You know, durability isn't shown until there's a test. Right? How do you check like the durability of, I don't know, the strength of the chair or the durability of a tire or of a car until it's tested, right? The durability of a seatbelt. You see all those crazy commercials. The durability of something until it's tested. We are going to be tested, church. We're in an unsaved world right now. We're in a fallen world, but the promises of God in us are durable. God, Jesus said, you are salt. You are durable. This is the words of Jesus today calling that to you. You are durable. You are firm-footed. Yes, your faith may be being tested today, but do not be dismayed. God is with you. Do not grow weary in well-doing. The power of God is on the inside of you. Colossians 1:11 says, be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, that you have great endurance. You are durable. You are durable. So if you feel weakened in any way, any area of faith, you know, I believe that there's times where the enemy comes at each of us in different areas of our faith. You know, there are certain areas of my faith that I will never be shaken. And then there's some areas that the enemy will still try to come at me with. So I know that that's the enemy, that's the area that would be a foothold to take over, right? Pastor talks about us that often, don't give a foothold, don't give a beachhead to the enemy. So I know there's areas of my faith that will never ever, I will never question God, I will always trust God. And then there's areas that my faith is tested in its durability. So I don't know where your faith is being tested in durability today, but today we are saying we are durable. And we have a permanence of the promises of God in us because we are what? We are salt. Amen. We are salt. Praise God. Jesus calls you durable. He called you salt. Another part of this is consistency. Consistency. Salt is salt. Consistency in our spiritual walk. Consistency from one believer to the next believer. And I'm not talking about church practices. You know, like today we had communion. We do communion typically once a month. We typically do water baptism maybe, you know, two times a year or three. I'm not talking about the way we come into church. I'm not talking about the way we worship, whether you like worship loud or soft or whether you lift your hands high and dance in the Holy Ghost, although I don't know why you wouldn't. I'm talking about consistency and godliness should be across the board as believers. I'm talking about the separation in Galatians 5 that separates the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. That should be is what God is calling us to be consistent today. Salt is salt. A Christian, a believer, should be a believer whether you're in Harvest Church or somewhere else. Whether you're sitting in this sanctuary right now or whether you're on your job, whether you're in your car by yourself or whether you're with a group of people, salt is salt. We need to be consistent in the godliness in our life. Because if we're not, it's causing confusion out in the world. It's causing confusion when someone would go to pick up salt and it's not salt. You ever play a trick on somebody and put sugar in the salt shaker? My youth kids, do not do that. Do not do that. But that's what happens when we as believers don't act like believers. When we as the church stop acting like the church of Jesus Christ. When we forget what godliness is. When we forget what holiness is. When we start to allow compromise in our life. Jesus is calling us to be consistent. Salt is salt. A follower of Christ should look like Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So salt as a preservative. The next, salt as a flavor enhancer. So we know that salt has a distinctive flavor. We know when we're cooking, we say, yeah, it needs more salt. But salt draws out the flavor of our food. Salt reduces bitterness. Salt increases sweetness. That's what we're to be doing in the world today. Salt enhances the sweetness and blocks bitterness. It's used to de-bitter something. De-bitter. Salt is a nutrient and it is essential for survival. We are essential for the survival of this world. We are essential, church. We are here to bring the salvation message of hope to a lost and dying world. We are essential. Salt can be used as a binding agent. Salt makes food more vibrant in color. We have a responsibility, church. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. He knew what he was saying when he called us salt. And he's saying, I am calling you to be sweet. There's others out there who are struggling in a world that is bitter and hopeless. We are to come. We are not to add to that bitterness and that hopelessness. We are not to perpetuate fear in the world. We have a hope of Jesus Christ on the inside of us, and we are to be changing the atmosphere around us. We are not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it has a power of God that brings salvation. We are essential to bring salvation to the world around us. Amen? We are to bring vibrancy to someone else's life. We are to carry someone else's burden. We are called to help. Galatians 6:12, carry each other's burdens that you may fulfill the law of Christ. And in Philippians 2:4, it says, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Let's start our week tomorrow with the idea that I want to bring some vibrancy and some color to someone else's life. I want to bring a change. What I have to say is essential. I have the hope of Jesus Christ to bring to the world. Amen? You can make someone else's bitter moment sweet. Let's think about that. Someone else, even another brother or sister in Christ, they're going through a hard time. Don't say, oh yeah, I know, I've been through that, and make it about you. We like to do that all the time, right? And then give our testimony about it. No. Make it about them. Bear with one another their burdens. Give hope to them. Pray for them. Speak life over them. Bring vibrancy and color to them with the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Romans 15:1 says, we who are strong ought to bear with the fallings and the weakness of others, not to please ourselves. That means when someone else is feeling weak, if you are strong in your faith, you are to lift them up. You are salt. That's what Jesus is identifying you as. That's your responsibility in that situation. Amen? Amen. So we have salt as a preservative. We have salt as a flavor enhancer. And we have salt as an antiseptic. So it says that salt can be used as a natural disinfectant, basically for everything. Basically for everything. So that means, basically, everywhere you go, you can bring a change. Because there's things around us that need to be disinfected. Where to stop moral decay? That's what salt, when Jesus calls us salt. So when we think about how to be a disinfectant, you know, where to dispel darkness. Where to speak the truth of God out of our mouth. And every time we speak the word of God out in faith, and we don't have to use chapter and verse, you know, when we're out with with unbelievers. Not yet. They're to taste and see that the Lord is good, and then we get to say chapter and verse. But we could just say, yeah, you know, maybe your family went through something and they know it, and you're like, but we have the hope of Jesus in us. You don't need to quote it all. You just need to tell them where your hope is from. Because sometimes that's what would stop us. Well, I don't know the chapter and verse, and what if I don't remember exactly, you know, the NIV version of that? No, speak forth the truth of God from your belly. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. The word of God is already in you, but we have to speak it out. We have to stop the corruption in the world. We have to be an antiseptic to the world around us. We have to give another voice. We have to give the voice to all the other voices out there. Amen? Amen. You know, church, make the word understandable for those that we come in contact with. Don't start speaking King James Version to them. Show kindness and love and gentleness and goodness. Show it in action. Amen? Amen. So we are called to, one, use our lives in worship to the Lord. We are valuable. We are preservative. We are a flavor enhancer. We are an antiseptic to a world that's going septic. Salt is also used for medicinal and as a healing agent. Anti-inflammatory, antibacterial properties can be used to accelerate the wound healing process. That's what we are. We are carriers of the anointing. Each of us. Jesus said, you are salt. You can bring healing to those around you. Romans 6:10, 11 talk about the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. How many of you were received in the anointing this past week with Brother Ted Shuttlesworth? Did you get hands laid on you? Well, do you know what he called that? Anybody remember? A residual anointing. That means each one of us in here who had hands laid on us carry that residual anointing outside of here. And what are we doing with that? We have to share it. We have to spread it. We have to bring healing, speed up the healing process for someone else. Amen? We hold the healing power of Jesus. The Bible tells us to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The Bible says these signs shall follow all those who believe. We are to stop the corruption in the world and the moral decay, but we are to bring healing to hurting souls and those that are sick. You know, if you are comfortable with a coworker and they're telling you that they have a pain and an ailment, say, can I pray with you? Can I pray with you? Can I hold your hand? Can I speak over that? They're talking about something terrible taking place in their family. Say, I'm going to pray with you, but let's agree right now. Let's agree right now. Let them hear the words of faith coming out of your mouth. And what you are doing is you are speeding up that healing process in their life. Amen? You are salt. Can you say, I am salt? Amen. Another attribute of salt is to improve the quality of soil. There was salt that was used in soil at the right time to bring increase to everything. Increase to everything. From seed germination to nutrition absorption to growth for the general health of lawns and plants. This is something that salt does. Our life as salt should bring increase in every area that we are in. Increase in every area. Increase in every area. That means if you are prospering on a job, your whole company prospers. You are bringing increase to that whole area. Let's think about that. When I was looking at this verse in Proverbs 11:10, it said, when the righteous are blessed, the whole city rejoices. Why? Because everybody then around them walks in blessing. If you're walking in peace and you're changing an atmosphere, everybody around you will now react and respond in peace. That's the power that we hold. Do you know that that's the power you hold? That there should be an increase around you, an increase of peace, an increase of joy, an increase of financial blessing wherever you go. And when I was studying this, this brought me to Esther. Amen. Esther chapter 18, when it said, when Mordecai was placed in a position, a high position, that the whole city rejoiced. Why? Because now they knew that they would be protected. Now they knew that they would be blessed. Wherever you are, people should know that because you are blessed, they are blessed. Because you are blessed, they will be blessed. We are to bring increase wherever we go. Amen? Increase everything is what this said as it described salt in the soil. So when we go out into the world, we are to bring increase. Amen? The increase in our life should spill over and affect those around us. Amen? We're going to keep going here. I want to look at Mark chapter 9, verse 50. It's another variation of the same scripture. It says, have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another. See, salt here in this verse refers to goodwill that seasons positive relationships. Be at peace with one another. Have salt in yourself. That means have all of these amazing qualities that salt is in yourself and use it in your relationships, in our interactions. When we come in contact with other people, every interaction we have should be considered a priority and purposeful. It should be intentional in our conversations. Pray it up before we walk out the door. Every conversation, you know, and we don't have to always answer real quickly. I'm like always quick to respond. Holy Spirit is teaching me just to wait a minute. Wait a half a beat, Nick. And just wait on what the Holy Spirit truly wants me to say. So that I can be intentional and purposeful and not running past somebody. Let's not be quick to run past people when we're out in the stores or run past our coworkers or even run past our children. Let's not run past people and be like, oh, I'll catch them when I get home. No, stop and take a minute and be intentional with your spouses. Be intentional with your children. Be intentional with those that you come in contact with and spread some salt. Amen? Be salty. Okay, not salty as the world salty, but salty as the word. Word salty. Word salty. I want to go back to Matthew chapter 5 for a moment, because I want us to really look at where this scripture is placed. It stands to be noted that in this chapter, there's more instruction around being the salt of the earth. And the entire teaching in this portion of scripture has to do with the influence we are to have on the world around us. Right before this, Jesus talks about the Beatitudes, our attitudes. And after this, Jesus talks about not murdering in our minds, not being angry, not having malice. Jesus talks about forgiving and making peace. He talks about let your yes be yes and your no be no, have integrity. Come on, let's look at where this is written in the Word of God. Because if you're like, oh, well, I feel like I'm being salty, let's go back and check the Word. We have to use the Word as our gauge. Remember, we're in a process. There's a refining. God wants to extract some things out of our life so that we have pure salt, uncontaminated. Uncontaminated. So in this entire portion is about the influence that we have in the lives of those around us. And then in verse 48 in chapter 5 of Matthew, I'm going to just read this here, and I am in the Amplified. It says, "You therefore will be perfect, growing into spiritual maturity both in mind and character, actively integrating godly values into your daily life as your heavenly Father is perfect." When Jesus says you are the salt of the earth, he's saying, I want you to actively integrate godliness into every part of your life. Integrate godliness. This is meaning salt is salt, that consistency of holiness, that consistency of being in the process always, so that we are our purest form when we are in the world and the Lord can use us. Amen? Amen. Actively integrating godliness into our life. In Luke chapter 14, verse 34 and 35, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It cannot. So salt can be contaminated, as I was studying with other minerals, and it will have a flat taste. And it actually said it will be ineffective as a preservative. And the Bible says it will be useful for a little more than keeping the footpaths clear. That means if we allow contamination in our lives and we are no longer useful, as Jesus called us to be useful in all of these areas, in preserving, in the flavor enhancer, as an antiseptic, as a healing process, if we're contaminated, we can't be useful in those areas. The Bible says, useful for nothing else but to walk on. Jesus warned us about being contaminated. Jesus warned us about losing our potency and our saltiness. One of the definitions in the Greek of Matthew chapter 13, it says, if the salt of the earth, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste. The Greek meaning of this means to be foolish, to be tasteless, useless, without edge, or to play the fool. The enemy wants us to be useless. The enemy would love to make the church look foolish. However, Jesus has called us to be salt and to go through that refining process so that we are useful. Amen? We don't want to be flat. We want to have that potency of salt. We want to be useful for the kingdom of God. We're not to be foolish. And salt is associated with wisdom there, because if losing salt is foolish, then the opposite of that would be wisdom. And in Colossians 4:6, it says, let your conversation be seasoned with salt. So I think we could say, let your conversation be seasoned with wisdom. Not with foolishness, not with being flippant, not with being careless in the words that we speak. You know, church, we can't take back our words. Once someone hears something said, it is very hard to retract that. And we can apologize and we can go back. I've had to do that. Listen, I'm really sorry about what I said. I didn't mean for it to sound that way. And then you're tripping over your words. If we're spending time in the process of God and being refined, that will happen less and less. The Lord is perfecting us. He's refining us to be useful for his glory. Amen? Amen. Our words that come out of our mouth in every conversation should make it taste better on every side. Remember, we're to make things sweet and not bitter. Amen? Our words are to bring healing and life, life and death, and the power of the tongue. You know, when we speak life to faith, we put death to fear. When we speak life to hope, we're putting death to hopelessness. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. The more life we speak, the more salt we're spreading out there, we're going to bring death to the things that are trying to corrupt this world. Amen? Amen. Our words disinfect what is contaminated. That's our job, to speak forth the word of truth. Exposing sin, but replacing it with life. Right? It's not just exposing sin. We're to replace it with the life of God. Our words are to be filled with faith and bless the environment, bring increase all around us. We are to have words of insight, wisdom, and discernment because we have the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of us. It's not our own wisdom, our own knowledge, our own intellect. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of insight, Spirit of discernment. That's what's inside of us. That means that if somebody needs help, we can bring help to chaos and confusion. Someone else doesn't know what's going on in their life. You know, Brother Ted talked about the gifts of the Spirit, which are in each of us. If someone comes up to you and is like, I really just don't know what to do, take a moment, pray in the Holy Ghost. Ask the Lord for a word of wisdom. This is what the salt in us can do and change and bring help to someone in need. Amen? Contamination of salt makes it useless. This is about being useful for the kingdom of God and effective. Jesus called us the salt of the earth. You know, Jesus gave us this standard to live by. He said, you are salt. He gave us something to aim at, something to strive for. And then he said, this is how we're going to get there. This is how I'm going to be able to use you. This is how I see you. If the worship team could just come, we're just going to open the altar for a minute here. Because, you know, contamination comes when we blend into the world and we avoid standing up for Jesus Christ. And we're not going to do that. We want to be potent in our life. We want to be useful for the kingdom of God. So as we open up the altar, I just want to make an invitation. Because God's presence is here to refine us. God's presence is here to remove anything that is impure. And maybe it's just a matter of the acknowledgement that you're valuable to the Lord. You are valuable to the Lord. When Jesus said, you are salt, he knew the significance of that salt. He knew how valuable you are. He knows your usefulness for his kingdom. He knows the results that will come from your life. And maybe this is the first time you're hearing it, or if you've forgotten, and you're feeling like, you know what, I don't feel useful for the Lord anymore. Come to the altar this morning and just spend time in the process a little bit of worship. So many times, and I've done it before, we sing, Lord, you know, change me, Lord, make me new. And then we don't stop to hear what God needs to change. We don't stop to hear what God needs to remove. Or we hear it and then we're like, oops, I'm going to step right out of this anointing right now. There needs to be that extraction. That time, you know, it said that the salt is harvested through the evaporation because of the sun and the wind. That takes time. You know, we love having time at the altar because it's a place where we can just wait on the Lord. So right now we're going to just open the altar for a process of purifying, a process of coming to the realization that you are salt and you are valuable. And Jesus warns us to not lose that saltiness, to stay salty according to the word. Amen? Not according to the world. And to remember the significance of the salt. You have a permanence in the promises of God. You are durable. And you are called to be consistent in godliness.